At Advance Auto Parts, we love to help you keep your car rolling down the highway with awesome deals on parts every day. And what better way to keep on rolling than in a new truck? Enter the Castrol Truck Sweepstakes at Advance. You could win a 2013 Ford F-150 worth over 30 grand. 30 grand? Dang! Enter now at
Advance Auto Parts.
No purchase necessary for sweepstakes, void where prohibited. Visit CastrolTruckSweeps.com for program rules and a better.
Discover card.
So that's it. I lost my job. My days of coaching football are over.
Well, that's tough, but you will bounce back. You've got our new IT card, so we'll lower your interest rate, lower your monthly payment, or find another way to help.
You'd do that for me?
Of course. You are a champion. Now, who are you?
A champion.
No, come on. Who are you?
A champion.
Who are you?
I'm a champion.
No, seriously, I need your name.
Oh, it's Steve.
At Discover, we treat you like you'd treat you. Job loss support. Get the new IT card at discover.com.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We've got a jam-packed show, but before I get into it, just want to remind everybody that we're live on April the 28th at the Birchmere to help with the Carpenters Cook-Off, help them raise a bunch of money for Carpenters Shelter. Go to carpenterscookoff.com. There are still only, and this isn't hype, there are only a couple of tickets left. So if you want to come, go get them. And May 5th, we're at the Wine and Food Festival at National Harbor. Go to wineandfoodnh.com. That is going to be a hoot, too.
Well, it's also, that's 2 days. That's a two-day food and wine festival. Great chefs are going to be there. Scott Trineau is the chef chair. Mike Isabella, Brian Voltaggio. Couple people you maybe never have heard of, you know,
Vic
Albizu. They're all going to be there.
It's Mr. Nikki Nellis. All right, everybody, be quiet.
I think we should get him a jacket like that.
I think you
and
should.
Spangles on the back.
Stizita.
Mr. Nikki Nellis.
You speak Italian? Huh? All right. So, Lamb Jam is back. It's coming up on May the 20th. Am I correct? Do I have the right date?
Yes, May the 20th.
Okay. And some of D.C.'s top chefs will compete to knock the socks off, an esteemed panel of judges.
Including I don't wear socks.
My wife. Oh, I know.
Ever.
There are many things you don't wear. All right. But that's a different show, isn't it? So here to fill us in with Lamb Jam info and excitement are Craig Rogers, who is the sheep farmer to the stars from Border Springs Farm and a man with a nice rack of lamb. Thank you. And Marjorie Meek Bradley, who's
so
the executive
bad.
Chef at Ripple. Oh, I have other lamb and sheep things, too.
Okay.
Craig. All right.
Get it. So stupid.
You're so stupid.
I didn't say you were stupid. I just said
it sounded stupid. All right.
I said that earlier. Okay. So, speaking of meat, why not beef? Also in today is Mike Brannon. He is back in to talk about Rosetta Beef. And they will also be at the National Harbor Wine and Food Festival. We're going to talk about what he's doing there and talk about what's going on at Rosetta. And Food and Friends, we've got them in studio. These are good friends of ours. I talked before about going there and spending some time. They do really wonderful things for people around this community. And Dining Out for Life is coming up this week, April 25th. And if you haven't made your reservation yet, Stacey England is going to tell you why you should.
The
and
entire country.
Fast.
And the Greater Reston Arts Center's 22nd Northern Virginia Fine Arts Festival is coming up May 17th through 19th. Did I do that right? Not diggity. All right, it's going to be a lot of fun. Damian Sinclair of the Reston Arts Center is here, and local watercolorist Dana Schurer. Did I do that right?
Excellent.
I'm so good at this. I really
she brought in some beautiful.
I should have a radio show.
She brought in some beautiful artwork.
I saw her artwork's great, and we're going to hear all about that. And an old friend of the show, Ellie Benchimol, is here from Adore at the St. Regis. Where she's the Psalm. Are you the Psalm?
I am the Psalm.
You are the Psalm. And we're going to talk about and taste some great wines and some classic cocktails and more. And Let's start with Ellie.
Okay, well, you're also freshly back from Portugal, right?
I am.
How was that trip?
Oh, it was so fun. Met some really beautiful people and saw all the wine regions. It was amazing.
What was your favorite wine region there?
Definitely the Douro.
Okay. For people who don't know, what kind of wine is from that region?
Well, they have a lot of still reds and whites, Alvarinho, and really steep slopes along this huge
river. Ellie, beautiful. Your voice is so soft.
Yeah, you're going to have to speak up a little bit.
Sorry.
Okay. Okay. So now the St. Regis just did a major renovation of a door, right? And the bar?
Yes, huge renovation. The entire lobby was converted into sort of like a hotel bar and pre-prohibition style decor. It's gorgeous.
Okay. And what about the bar menu? How has that changed?
We sort of updated everything, if you can call it that, since we brought everything back to 1920s. So.
You updated the classic cocktail.
Exactly.
Isn't that like Back to the Future, kind of?
Exactly.
Thank you.
It's nothing like that, actually.
Back to the future from back.
I was going there with you.
It's okay. God bless you, my child.
So tell us about the program and how you rent. Like, what are some of the things people can find there now?
Local spirits like Green Hat Gin, which has sort of got this DC following.
They've been on the show.
Have they?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing gin. So we put on just a lot of classic cocktails that you can come in and just relax, hang out in the lobby, and watch me savor champagne at 6 p.m. if you like. So.
Oh, are you doing that every day?
Yeah, it's a St. Regis.
Richie, can we trust her with a knife? It's scary.
Right.
I know.
Richie's like, I'm back here.
So what are we going to try first?
A little aperitif cocktail. It's my favorite, the French 75.
Okay, and what's in it?
Green Hat Gin, fresh lemon, a little bit of simple to sweeten it up, and then I top it off with a Cremant d'Alsace.
Okay.
Some bubbles, so
terrific.
I'll pass that around everybody.
Excellent. Okay. All right. Well, while Ellie is doing that, we are going to talk with Craig Rogers of Border Springs Farm and Marjorie Meek Bradley, who is the brand new executive chef over at Ripple, across the street from the Uptown Theater. So, guys, thanks so much for coming in. Craig?
Ah, Craig.
You've been in before.
We've
talked lots about lamb. But lamb has really moved to the center stage on a lot of chefs' menus. I think we're seeing more and more of it. And what exactly is it about lamb that makes it such a different choice, do you think?
Well, of course, Americans have been the only country in the world for which lamb hasn't been the primary protein. So it's kind of nice to see this, you know, new resurgence of lamb. But I think primarily because lamb has such flavor on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Salt, pepper, olive oil is all you need. Everything else is fancy, but it's something that's easy enough for the home cook or the home barbecuer to create, you know, a fancy meal out on the grill. And you just let the meat do the talking. The flavor is fabulous.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your process. So you're a farmer, you're raising lamb. I mean, what is it about how you're raising your lamb that produces the product that chefs are looking for?
Well, there's a couple of things that are important in all meat. One is how it's raised. And so we have pasture-raised lamb, and it's animal welfare approved. So it's all about farming the right way.
And for those who don't know, pasture-raised does mean grass-fed, right?
Grass-fed, yes. So all of our sheep graze the foothills of the Blue Ridge in Southern Virginia on the North Carolina border. But most importantly is grass-fed on the East Coast is very hard to do because most East Coast grasses are fescue, does not provide a whole lot of nutrition.
Is that one of the seven words you can't say?
So it's
no, fescue.
It's
Craig.
There you go. It's a drought-resistant grass, so it's all over, particularly in the Southeast. But it doesn't create sweet-tasting meat, so Where does the beautiful meat in the world come from? It's where they have these beautiful indigenous grasses, Argentinian beef, or American meat that comes from our amber waves of grain,
right,
out west, indigenous grasses. So what we do is we then plant, overseed our pastures with three types of perennial rye and white and red clover to create a high sugar grass that's going to turn into a very sweet fat.
How do you do that? Is this like a blower that just blows seed and you get so much land?
We actually drill it into the land. So you have a seeding.
That sounds like an awesome.
Wait. Can you visit our backyard, Craig?
Yeah, just tell me how many.
We have a Great Pyrenees mix, half Bernese, half Great Pyrenees. I mean, I think she would eat it.
She's trying to dig to China to tell the Chinese to drop dead with that report about the U.S.
So it's all about, growing great meat is all about growing great grasses. And that's the real...
Holy guacamole, okay. What was that?
We got it. Right,
and that's the, that's the real craft of a farmer's.
Mm-hmm.
Is how well you can grow grass, because the meat's going to be primarily in flavor based upon what the animals eat.
Okay. Now, Margie, this is the first time that you are competing. Lamb Jam is coming up.
Yeah.
This is a competition where all the chefs participate at Eastern Market, right, this year,
yes.
May
20th. Are you feeling the pressure?
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous.
Come
but
on.
I'm excited. I don't know. I definitely have a competitiveness in me, so I'm excited to have a chance to.
You're already influencing okay. one of the judges by handing her one of these little things.
Well, let's start from the beginning. Craig, can you sort of lay out? I mean, I've judged in the past, but can you lay out how this competition works? Because it's not like Koshan where everybody gets a whole pig. This is very different. So can you lay out how the competition works?
Sure. There's going to be about 20 chefs from D.C. even this year, Charlottesville and Richmond.
Okay.
We'll be coming together, and each chef picks a part of the lamb, whether it's a shank or a leg or a shoulder.
Wait, do they pick or they're given?
A little bit of both.
Well, you get to put in, your request, but you don't necessarily get it.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody asks for the leg, right?
There's probably a little bit of seniority involved.
Maybe
the rookie gets the shank. I don't know.
That's all right. I can work with anything.
What can you do with a lamb toenail?
and then the public will pick the people's choice,
right.
And the judges will pick a winner from each
category.
Category.
Mm-hmm.
And then there will be a Lamb Jam champion
right.
that will be crowned. And then they go and compete in New York for the title of National Lamb Jam Master.
So last year, John Critchley won, right?
So
he
here's
won
the thing about D.C. John Critchley has won essentially every Lamb competition in the past 2 years.
Wow.
Which I think he has a string now of four lamb
when
championships.
When he walks down the street, they go, John, like that, don't they?
You already did that.
Well, they probably run.
I had something in my throat.
I think the key is for somebody to dethrone John Critchley, who's the executive chef at Bourbon Steak.
Yep.
And indeed, last year he represented D.C. and won the National Lamb Jam Championship out in Napa with pupusas that were stunning.
Yeah, he did a great job. I mean, he unanimously won last year. I mean, he did. So he did great work. So, Marge, how are you being a rookie? You used to be at Graffiato. You've been with Mike. You were with Mike last year at Koshan.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, I helped him at Koshan last year.
Remember how well Bryce Harper did as a rookie, so you're fine.
So, I mean, how are you going to prepare for this?
Well, I've definitely been thinking about it a lot, and I did get a different kind of meat than I had hoped for, but I've been...
I mean, you're not complaining, right?
No. Of course not. Okay. I think that's better, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been working with quite a bit of, the lovely Border Springs lamb at the restaurant and testing different things and just... letting our guest at the restaurant kind of give me the feedback to, see what people like and what works.
And what did you bring in today? Because you brought in some beautiful things.
Well, I brought in some lamb tartines. So mm-hmm. It's an open-faced sandwich with a little bit of artichoke mustard, upland crust, and then roasted leg of lamb and a little
gorgeous.
Bit of pickled ramps on top.
Mm-hmm.
I wish everybody could see what that lamb looks like, because that's the most beautifully done lamb. That's
I put out
the
a picture.
Way everybody needs
Thank
to
you.
Cook the lamb.
I'm eating it piece by piece.
It's beautiful.
Good.
And then
my
you made...
roll.
And so then with the leg of lamb, I kind of clean it up and have your different muscle groups. And then with all the scraps, I ground it up and made little Marquez sausages.
Which were delicious.
And did little lambs in a blanket.
So cute.
And so with a little bit of a fava and artichoke salad.
Okay, now those have no lamb in them, but you brought in... Something else.
I also brought in some of our skillet buns that we're testing out because we will be starting brunch at Ripple in a few weeks.
Should we help her?
I think everybody in studio, there's plenty. On. Dig in, yes. Everyone, please.
Come please. Everybody we're testing right now. So.
Look at everybody holding back. You've got two skillets
one,
over there.
Two, three,
dig
test.
In. Okay. All right. This is David and Nikki Nellis from Foodie and the Beast. We have to take a quick break.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do. But when we come back, we'll talk more.
Stick around while I get a sugar high. Hey, everyone. It's Nikki and David, Foodie and the Beast. Be absolutely sure to join us next Sunday at 11 at the Birchmere when we broadcast live from the 11th Annual Carpenters Cook-Off, the Foodie Fest fundraiser for Carpenter Shelter. Then stick around from noon to 3 for awesome taste treats from 30 of the area's top restaurants, music from the Alpha Dog Blues Band, a fab live auction, and lots more. For info and tickets, visit carpenterscookoff.com or tweet at cookoff2013. The 6th Annual Wine and Food Festival at National Harbor is Saturday and Sunday, May 4th and 5th. Saturday at 3, try the high-end wine and spirits tasting on the beach, then chill out at the Gaylord's Pose Rooftop Lounge with a sunset wine and cheese tasting. Sunday at 11, join Foodie and the Beast for a live radio broadcast with chefs like Scott Bruneau, Rock Harper, Mike Isabella, and Brian Voltaggio, who all lead demos later that day. For foodie fun and more, it's the 6th Annual Wine and Food Festival at National Harbor, sponsored by Mini USA. Visit wineandfoodnh.com for info.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
Did you know that organ and tissue transplants save thousands of lives each year? Make the decision to save lives by becoming an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Registering is easy. Do it whenever obtaining or renewing your driver's license. Or register online at beadonor.org. That's beadonor.org. This is Hillary Howard. I registered to be a donor and have the heart on my driver's license to prove it. Join me and register today.
We are back on Foodie and the Beast, and I just want to say Ripple is across the street from the Uptown Theater, and go there for the lamb, and go there for whatever that was.
Wait,
what
no. Brunch. When does brunch start?
Brunch is starting on May 5th.
Okay.
What do you call that? That
well, that's going to be our skillet buns instead
get
of cinnamon
the skillet
rolls.
Buns. Do not stop until okay. You get a skillet. All right, so we want to know about Lamb Jam.
Right.
The particulars. How do you find it online? How do you get tickets? Do you know?
Fanoflamb.com.
Fans mm-hmm. of lamb.
No, fan, no? fan.
I don't think so.
But we do have lots of fans of lamb, particularly here in D.C. It's their most successful market. Tickets go faster here than any place else, and there's more support from the chef community here than anywhere else. In fact, Richie Brandenburg's in the studio. He was a Lamb Jam champion. He won for loin a couple of years ago. Best loin dish in D.C.,
did you really?
Yep.
Oh, congratulations. You
awesome
should have worn
chef
your little Lamb Jam crown in. That's awesome.
All right. So sitting next to Craig, and so far they're getting along, which I think is great, is Mike Brannon, who's the VP of Old Line Custom Meat Company, and I guess you distribute a lot of Rosetta beef, yeah?
Yes, we do.
All right. So very quickly, everybody, I'll bet, has seen the movie Open Range, right? Where the sheep herders and the cattle guys are all going at each other because, you know, there's all
did anybody in here see that
yeah
movie? It was so yes slow.
We've all seen it.
Okay.
Why the enmity between, is there that between sheep and cattle? And I mean, it sounds to me like there's so many similarities in how they're prepared and in how you can enjoy them and the leanness of beef in particular. Is there that anymore?
Well, the cattlemen used to think that the sheep grazing the pasture would ruin the pasture for the cattle. But that's not the fact. They actually get along quite well together and eat a little bit different forages, and so it works out real well.
In fact, the way the sheep cattle wars ended was when the cattlemen realized there was more money in sheep than there were in cattle, and they switched sides.
Oh,
they started owning sheep. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well,
money talks.
Mike, you're going to be out at the out at National Harbor for the May 4th and 5th Wine and Food Festival out there, And I guess you'll have a booth for the beef checkoff, and you'll be doing other things. Tell us what's going on out
there. Right. We're going to be out at the National Harbor with the Wine Festival, cooking pit beef with the beef checkoff group. We have a lot of fun. We're going to be doing top sirloin this year, be giving out all kinds of samples, some samples of cowboy rub that's just excellent, and we're all excited and looking forward to this deal.
Well, how many kinds of lean beef are there? I was doing a little research, and there's something like 32 kinds.
29 cuts.
Well,
of
I
lean
can't
meat.
Count. I never was good at that, as my daughter will tell us. And it's all supposed to be exceptionally good for you. But beef, there's that thing that you shouldn't eat beef. You know, that's sort of out there in the world. Why is that?
Well, I think there's a lot of misconception. Beef is a great source of iron, zinc, and B vitamins. It's one of the best bioavailable sources for the B vitamins. And, you know, you can eat a 3-ounce serving of natural lean beef, or you can go to the drugstore and get something that's man-made out of a bottle. But beef is your source for B12 especially.
Oh, so that's a natural energy booster.
Right, exactly.
And grass-fed versus, you know, corn and, you know, the other feeds.
Well, the key to raising cattle is to raise them with where their nutritional needs are balanced. Mm-hmm. Different people do it in different ways. Some people augment that diet at certain times of year with grains. People ask me about it, and I always say, well, have you ever seen anybody mowing their grass in January in this area? And the answer comes back, no. Well, the grass does not grow 365 days a year,
right,
to meet a calf's nutritional needs. So
okay,
there are some people that use grain.
But it is. But do you think when people say pasture raised, as we discussed earlier, it does mean they're out in the field, right?
That's correct.
So
yes,
they are getting the exercise, as much exercise as a cow gets.
Sure.
I mean,
sure,
they're getting what they need.
You bet.
Okay.
I saw one on a cross trainer once. All right, so then...
Those drugs keep coming back. You know what I mean? Like, you dropped it in the 60s, and it just keeps...
You know what?
It keeps rearing its head.
I think my dealer's in jail, but I wish they would come back. So what about pasturing, though? I mean, you don't raise sheep and cattle out in the same pasture, I assume. So is there a difference to pasturing them and to the grasses that you're plugging into the ground for the sheep versus how you do it for cattle?
Well, some people do raise them together. The
what do they
trade
have to
words,
talk about?
Yeah, they call
there
it a flirt.
A
which
what?
Is a flirt combination.
It's another one of those words you can't say, Mike.
A flock and a herd.
What's the matter with you? Right, and they literally do, and they
sure
all hang out together?
You bet.
The cows don't sort of knock the sheep out of the way, like... Sort of see them throwing their weight around a little bit.
At night, the sheep do cow tipping.
And those that raise both, oftentimes they'll let the cows graze first because sheep don't like grass that's more than about 6 inches high.
I was going to say, are the sheep second-class citizens?
And they also deal with parasites in a different way, so they help clean the pastures as well if you have one follow the other.
That's interesting.
So there's a lot of synergy for all sorts of livestock.
What about the textures of the meat? I mean, how would you know, because beef seems to be more, I don't know, when I say substantive, I don't mean substantive, you know, for your health, but it's got a harder texture to chew generally than lamb. Is that endemic?
Shepherds all across the country are thanking you.
Well, you're talking to a man that I would kill for a ribeye. So I'm a beef and a lamb.
But why
man,
should but, their textures be the same? They're two different animals. Of course they taste differently.
But
this is why you're not judging that competition, just so you know.
Well, I think a normal person should and not a foodie. But that's another thing.
They do. Normal people do judge that competition. The people's choice
the people
is the normal people.
People on the radio
people
don't know what we're talking
we're
about.
We're talking so about...
Lamb jam. Who judges it?
And
that's
who
a
judges,
different argument.
And who judges it? And there are professionals who judge, and then there are the people's choice.
Okay.
And I'm going to be the advocate for there to be the common fella on the judging panel. All right, so we're going to take care of you.
So talk about the differences in the meat. Because, you know, they're two pasture-raised animals. They're out there together, you know.
Well, a lot of the difference comes from the... physiological difference in their body. I mean, a steer is 1,000, 1,200 pounds, and so his frame structure, how he's built, he has to he has a bigger body to get around the pasture compared to a 110-pound lamb. So there are differences in the muscle tissue.
It's just the muscle and the...
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about Rosetta a little bit. Let's talk about what you guys are up to these days, because we haven't had you on in quite some while. So tell us a little bit about what you guys have been up to.
Well, a couple of years ago, we began to look for a way to expand. So we partnered with another fella and started a new company called Old Line Custom Meats.
Okay.
We provide more capacity for our product as well as for farmers in Maryland. There was a real shortage of custom processing for other farmers. And we
What does that mean exactly? I mean, do you mean like...
It's where we take their live animal and convert it to a saleable product.
Okay.
And we work for people that raise lamb as well. So we're out there for everybody.
Okay. And so now are your products more readily available?
Yes, we have more distribution. We're in a few more grocery stores. We're in about 20 family-owned grocery stores. We've gained a few restaurants.
You're in Chevy Chase Market. I mean,
that's correct.
That's where we buy your burgers. Yep. They're delicious.
Awesome. I actually use your meat at Ripple as well.
Say that in the mic.
I just got some of your strip lines in to use at Ripple.
Oh, well, that's
awesome.
Exciting.
Thank you.
That's terrific. Yeah.
Unsolicited testimonials.
No, I'm curious. So how did you know about Rosetta Beef?
I actually work a little bit with Fells Point, who is carrying their meat, and Craig introduced me to them, a different Craig.
Okay, another Craig.
Another Craig at Fells Point, because I was looking for local products and, you know, local beef.
Okay. Now, Mike, you guys participate at the National Harbor Food and Wine and Food Festival every year. What is it about that festival that you like so much, and why participate? I mean, what is it?
Mostly because we have a lot of fun.
Okay. Listen, that's always good.
Well, Greg Nivens throws a good party.
Yes, he does.
You know, we get down there, and there's a big crowd of people that taste our beef for the first time. And with our product, anybody can tell a good story. But with our product, it's when somebody actually tries our beef, they taste that there's a real difference. It's not just a story. And we create followers. It's just that simple.
Do you think at a festival like that, I mean, are people asking a lot of questions? I mean, do they want to hear the story?
Or do they want the freebies?
There's a little bit of both.
Okay.
You know, and we just kind of deal with that. But we have a lot of fun, too, talking to both types of people.
Well, I'm going to throw in again. We're going to be there live broadcasting at 11 on Sunday.
The 5th.
And by the time we get there and get on the air, that place should be lit up like the 4th of July.
No, they get a beautiful crowd.
Sure.
But given that it is a foodie crowd there, so I would assume a lot of people have pretty good questions for what they're eating and what they're doing. I mean, not everybody's just there.
Well, I have a question.
Okay,
I had one more thing to ask you guys. What about when you're preparing lamb and preparing beef, particularly with marinades? Is it a whole different ball game for beef than it is for lamb? And I should ask my wife, who's probably sitting over there going, why did that idiot ask that question?
Okay.
But it's a good question for people listening. I mean, there are marinades that sit up on the shelf. How do people know what to use?
Well, the easy thing with lamb is you don't need to do that, because it's every...
score one for the lamb.
Every part of the lamb...
Take that, cow.
Is tender, all right? So marinades oftentimes are used to be able to help tenderize as well as imparting flavor. So you can add different flavors if you wish, but... You know, lamb has a pretty distinctive flavor on its own. So salt, pepper, olive oil is all that's needed. Everything else is fancy.
Okay, I agree with you about that. But I think you'll both agree with me that, I mean, sometimes you read that you should marinate, whether it's lamb or beef, you know, for an hour, overnight, or whatever. But we're marinating muscles, so it can only absorb so much, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so like when it says to marinate, go ahead, Shake. When it says to marinate...
Shake it, Ellie.
24 hours. Does it matter? I mean, how can it really penetrate?
First of all, I only use marinades for the lesser cuts.
Okay.
But when I do, I like to leave it overnight. There's some osmosis that goes on overnight, and the movement back and forth of the water takes your spices and flavorings in and out with it.
Okay.
Well, putting a little vinegar in helps, too, a lot of times to kind of...
Acid?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can't use too much, but just a little bit will help kind of penetrate the meat.
Okay, great. All right. Mike, we have a minute left. So tell people where they can find you online and where they can find you at the festival.
Online, we're at rosettabeef.com, which is rosedabeef.com.
And we can order your products there, too,
right? That is correct. You can buy online.
Cuts of meat, everything.
You bet. And then at the National Harbor Wine Festival, if you come in the main gate.
Look for the big line.
That's right. Look for the big line, and you'll smell the smoke from the barbecue pit.
Okay, great. Now, what happened with that competition?
We did a trivia contest.
Yes.
And we found somebody. They won a Weber Grill.
Oh, wow. So there was a winner. I know.
All right.
Sorry.
So there's going to be a trivia. There was a trivia contest, and
somebody
won a
Weber Grill. Which is
and
cool.
And that's big news to all you people who didn't enter and lost, and now you don't care. But it's time for a commercial.
Okay, great. Well, thanks. Thank you, Mike, very much. And
thank
Craig,
you.
It was an interesting conversation. I guess the lamb versus cow will continue. This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
The 6th Annual Wine and Food Festival at National Harbor is Saturday and Sunday, May 4th and 5th. Saturday at 3, try the high-end wine and spirits tasting on the beach, then chill out at the Gaylord's Pose Rooftop Lounge with a sunset wine and cheese tasting. Sunday at 11, join Foodie and the Beast for a live radio broadcast with chefs like Scott Druneau, Rock Harper, Mike Isabella, and Brian Voltaggio, who all lead demos later that day. For foodie fun and more, it's the 6th Annual Wine and Food Festival at National Harbor, sponsored by Mini USA. Visit wineandfoodnh.com for info.
For over a century, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington has served the youth in our nation's capital. The club's new STEAM initiative uses the arts to teach science, technology, engineering, and math. Today, more than ever, we need your support of STEAM. It will encourage our youth to think rather than memorize, create rather than copy, and to be resourceful rather than reserved. So visit boysandgirlsclubs.org. Send a dollar or more as an investment to help us help our kids pick up STEAM. Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington. Great futures start here.
This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
Escape the everyday to the close-by Early Mountain Vineyards in Madison, Virginia. A relaxing getaway just a short drive from D.C., it has an award-winning tasting room, breathtaking views of the Blue Ridge, and the best of Virginia wines, locally grown food, live music, and slow sunsets. Visit earlymountain.com or follow them on Twitter at Early Mountain. Mention Foodie and the Beast and this ad for a free flight of wines at your next visit.
The 6th Annual Wine and Food Festival at National Harbor is Saturday and Sunday, May 4th and 5th. Saturday at 3, try the high-end wine and spirits tasting on the beach, then chill out at the Gaylord's Pose Rooftop Lounge with a sunset wine and cheese tasting. Sunday at 11, join Foodie and the Beast for a live radio broadcast with chefs like Scott Druneau, Rock Harper, Mike Isabella, and Brian Voltaggio, who all lead demos later that day. For foodie fun and more, it's the 6th Annual Wine and Food Festival at National Harbor, sponsored by Mini USA. Visit wineandfoodnh.com for info. We are back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're going to send it back over to you. Ellie Benchimol is the somm at Adore in the St. Regis, and we're trying drinks from the St. Regis Bar. Clever name. what is this? What is this thing?
You have an old-fashioned. It's a very manly drink.
Yeah, I'm a very old-fashioned guy. Have I mentioned
right.
that? Yeah.
I'm not going to comment on the manly part, so let's just...
Yeah, I really like
that
too.
All right, I will only say we've been married almost 20 years, so there must be something right about me. All right, good Lord.
It's one of my favorite drinks too, though.
It's delicious.
And I think the secret is the ice.
I was going to ask, so are you hand-cutting your ice? What are you guys doing over there?
No, it's this mixologist at the W who kind of started his own little ice company, and he freezes the cubes at sub-zero, so they're perfectly clear.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really establish that if you make it yourself unless you have, like, liquid nitrogen, which I really don't want to play around with. So.
Okay. And who is this unnamed mixologist from the W Hotel
who's making his own ice? And he works with Orkin Torquay, so.
Uh-huh. And so he delivers ice?
He does.
That is so cool.
He's like a little ice fairy.
I love it.
Okay. I'm going to break in while we're sipping. You keep sipping. I want to talk to Stacey England here about food and friends and everything that's going on. Dining for Life is your big promotion, your big fundraiser, but spend 2 seconds and tell everybody just what the mission is at Food and Friends. It's pretty impressive.
Sure. So we prepare, package, and deliver meals to people in the area who have critical illnesses like HIV/AIDS, cancer, and some other life-challenging illnesses as well, people in hospice care and things like that. So our meals are specially tailored to meet the nutritional needs of our clients. They're all home delivered, and we have professional chefs as well as registered dietitians on staff who help to craft the meal plans and also help to counsel the clients, because these illnesses are really hard on your body and require
a lot of...
Yeah, it's nutrition and sort of how to handle your medications with nutrition and all of that wrapped
now,
up into
Nick
one.
Has a question, but Chris told me before that you guys do about 1 million meals a year, which is unbelievable.
Well, having volunteered and watching how it works, it is really, it's such an operation. It is so overwhelming. The people who work there are, I mean, you had so many volunteers there that day that I was there. But the people who run your organization, everybody's so nice and everybody is so committed and everybody, like, appreciates the volunteers, which I thought was interesting. Do you know what I mean? Because that could go another way.
It definitely could. But, you know, one of the things that's really special about Food and Friends is we only have about 50 staff members. And all of those staff members are fully committed to the mission of the organization. And our services would not be possible without volunteers. We had 14,500 volunteers help out last year.
That's amazing.
Which is absolutely amazing.
My God, 4% of your workforce is right here.
I know. All right.
So I want to get right into Dining for Life because it's great. And at some point, you got to tell us about Queen Forest One.
Sure.
All right. So Dining for Life.
Dining Out for Life, it's coming up this Thursday. We have 107 restaurants, Maryland, D.C., and Virginia, who have agreed to donate 25 to 110% of their proceeds to Food and Friends. So we need everybody to make next Thursday or this Thursday the day that you go out to eat for lunch and for dinner. Mm-hmm. There is a list of all our participating restaurants up on our website at foodandfriends.org. And it is a super, super easy fundraiser and an easy way to give back. Well, you have to eat
but
anyway.
Can you explain how people are actually giving back? Like, what are these restaurants doing? Like, what is their commitment to this?
Right. So the restaurants are agreeing to give the percentage of the bill. So we have restaurants doing 25%, 50%, 35%, and we even have a couple restaurants who are giving 100%
of your proceeds.
Let's give them
a shout out. Freddy's Beach Bar and Restaurant is giving 110%. Annie's Paramount Steakhouse is giving 100%.
Do they not understand that? I saw that, and I was like, how are they doing 110%?
And I'm giving you, Nikki, I give you 100%, 110% of my love.
Yeah, I know. Right.
So, tell us about Queen Forest One.
So Queen Forest One is this sort of hilarious thing we started a couple years ago in order to entertain some of the diners while in the restaurants. So we have a group of about 10 drag queens who are going
to
be...
Is Craig a part of that?
Craig is most definitely a part of that.
I make it 11.
Okay. Yes. Miss Scarlet Letter will be out.
Oh, my God.
Roaming around some of the restaurants in, like, the DuPont Circle, Adams Morgan, Logan Circle
area. Wait,
are
you getting Jeff Black to dress up this year?
He will not be dressing up, but we
you know
will
what?
Be stopping
Jeff
into
is so
knife.
Hot on his own.
I was hoping Jeff Black would be dressing up.
Maybe someday. I don't know if we've asked. It's a good idea.
You should ask
we
him.
We should.
How about Scott Bruneau? That'd be good.
He'd be very dull.
It would be very entertaining. But it's fun. It's just kind of a fun way to thank the diners. 1 year, Jamie Leeds at Hank's Oyster Bar let the drag queens come back into the kitchen and say hi to all of the restaurant staff and the kitchen staff. So it's just kind of entertaining to be out, and it makes for a really good photo op.
And then so with all the funds raised, what do you guys, I mean, where does that go? How do people understand how that helps Food and Friends?
Well, actually, $24, that's what it costs every day to provide a full day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner of meals to mm-hmm. one client. And we have nearly 3,000 clients.
Okay.
So every penny that is raised from Dining Out for Life is critical to ensuring our mission into getting meals prepared and the meals out on the road.
Terrific. And yeah. People can volunteer and come in, or they can be drivers. Like, tell people how they can help out other than putting in dollars. Like, how else can people help you?
Sure. We always need volunteers in the kitchen, helping with our special events, doing work in our offices. But our number one volunteer need is delivery drivers, mm-hmm. especially during the week. It is super easy, a lot of fun. We provide maps. We provide a training. And if anybody ever has a free day, we absolutely need delivery drivers.
Mm-hmm. All right. How do we find you online?
Foodandfriends.org. All the information.
Hit the phone number.
202-269-2277.
I already know. I just want to see if you can remember.
Just one last plug for it. Dining Out for Life is
this Thursday, right. April 25th. Visit foodandfriends.org for a full list of restaurants.
Nicely done, Stacey.
Make your reservation.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks.
All right. So now we're going to change the subject a little, and we're going to talk about the Northern Virginia Fine Arts Festival. Damien, come on in. Stacey, you're out of here.
With that drink in your hand.
Out of that chair. All right, so I guess we've got, I want to do this right, Damien and, where am I? And Dana, sorry. Got two D's up there. Damian Sinclair is the executive director of the Reston Arts Center, and local watercolorist Dana Schurer is in. And they're talking about, this is the 22nd annual event, right?
Yep, 22 years.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about it.
You look a day over 25 yourself.
The Northern Virginia Fine Arts Festival, it's May 17th, 18th, and 19th this year. Mm-hmm. Again, we've been doing it for 22 years. This year, we're going to have 220 artists from all over the country. We have three artists coming down from Canada. Mm-hmm. We have over 1,000 artists apply for the event. We're a top 25 fine arts festival in the country.
So how did that happen? I mean, how did you start this? And how is it now that you have all these artists coming in, and how do you pick them? I mean, how does all that work?
Okay, well,
it's a lot of questions.
It is a lot, but mercifully, I didn't start it.
Okay.
But it's local artists like Dana, people from very early on started the festival in Reston. Mm-hmm. It's been going on for some time. How it works now is we've established ourselves kind of nationwide. We have a national jury that juries the artists that come in. Mm-hmm. They score those, and we do the selections based on their scores. And we create kind of a balance of artwork from painters to sculptors, local artists, national artists.
So how does that work? I mean, obviously, each artist has a booth, and people can walk around and see all this mm-hmm. stuff. But does each artist that wants to submit a piece to this juried process, or how does it work?
Well, I think there are, and Dana could probably answer this better. I think there
a
are
piece
about,
and a large check for the judges.
Right. I mean, how does it work, Dana? How long have you been doing this?
22
oh,
years.
Since, watercolor since 1981, but I started doing pen and ink drawings. My dad used to sell them in the office when I was 15 and 16, so a long time.
Was your dad the boss?
No.
Buy this!
No, but when did you start with the festival?
Well, we moved to Virginia in 1981, mm-hmm. and the Greater Reston Arts Center was at Lake Ann Plaza.
Okay.
And they had a group of artists that were called artist designers, and you had to jury in to become one of these artist designers, and mm-hmm. it just began there. And then later on, the festival came about. And I juried in the first time. It was exciting the first time, and it's still exciting to get in because it's a stiff
competition.
So
you have to apply. You have to apply every
year. You have to apply every year.
And what is the application process for an artist?
You supply. You provide 5 images, one of your booth, and then the judges come in and you hope for the best.
Okay. So let's talk about some of your artwork. You're doing watercolors, and you brought a beautiful one here.
That looks nothing like a watercolor. It looks like a lithograph almost.
Right.
So it looks like what?
Like almost like a lithograph, like it was printed.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mix all of the colors. They come in tiny little tubes. I mix them in containers, and then I get a consistency throughout each piece that way. And that one is, there is a lot of depth to it, but there are other pieces that I do that are more classical and figurative. So I'm sort of all over the place, and it helps break up the monotony of doing.
Now, radio is the theater of the mind, and obviously, obviously our listeners can't see it. I'll bet a couple of them probably can.
They have to
Clark
come to the
Kemper,
festival.
You're listening. But it's a beautiful piece, and really what's great about your technique is it does look like a print.
Mm-hmm.
It's
really
cool.
I was approached a little over a year ago by Dava Brahoni and her husband, JP, to provide something that might be considered for a mural at the Reston Town Center.
And this will be a mural.
And it's right around the corner from Grace. So that will be a 20 by 23 foot piece of art on the side of Midtown.
That'll be fun.
Very cool.
All right, yeah, I want to get back to the event because we only have a couple of minutes. What are some of the other activities? How do people get tickets? Do the sell.
Okay, well, the event is free. Mm-hmm.
I like free.
Yeah, no, it's good. But for a $10 donation.
If you haven't gotten that.
Yeah. But for a $10 donation, we actually give patrons a $10 discount coupon to use at most of the restaurants in Reston Town Center. Places like Monomiga B, Il Fornaio, Big Bowl, different restaurants like that have participated over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're really there for is the artists, for people to go around, shop, find something that
well,
they won't
wait
be able
a
to
minute.
Find
There's an opening night party, too.
There is an opening night party. It's on Friday night. It's in the Town Center Pavilion. Tickets to that are $100. This is our big fundraiser for the year.
Okay.
$75 if you're a member of Grace. But mm-hmm.
Quick, join.
And so that's kind of how we'll kick it off. But the booths are open that night as well, from 5 to 8, so people can walk around in the evening, have dinner, Check out all the artists. Some folks, when they're leaving, rest on their way to home, too.
All right. So let's just...
Well,
we got a minute. All right. Go ahead.
We do. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about some of the other artists that are there so people have a great idea to get an idea of what else people can find. And I'd love to hear just a little bit more about what Dana is going to be doing there. So this is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We're getting some culture on the air. We'll be back.
I can use some.
No kidding.
Okay.
We'll be back in just a sec.
This facial recognition and lack of privacy is going to be a problem on an ongoing basis. Now, coming up in the future, you're going to see face recognition technology on ATMs, which actually is a pretty good
idea. That's a great idea.
I love that idea. They're also going to have face recognition software on mobile devices. So the device is going to look at your face, and instead of you putting in a code to unlock it, if it doesn't see you, it's not going to unlock.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
Are you looking to go abroad and make a difference? Consider volunteering or studying abroad on a YFU gap year to Thailand, Romania, or Ghana. Earn course credit, live locally, and become a global citizen. YFU offers gap year as well as summer, semester, and year-long programs to 40 countries. Call 1-800-TEENAGE. Or visit YFUUSA.org to learn more about Youth for Understanding study abroad programs. Change your life. Change the world. Youth for Understanding.
The 6th Annual Wine and Food Festival at National Harbor is Saturday and Sunday, May 4th and 5th. Saturday at 3, try the high-end wine and spirits tasting on the beach, then chill out at the Gaylord's Poe's Rooftop Lounge with a sunset wine and cheese tasting. Sunday at 11, join Foodie and the Beast for a live radio broadcast with chefs like Scott Bruneau, Rock Harper, Mike Isabella, and Brian Voltaggio, who all lead demos later that day. For foodie fun and more, it's the 6th Annual Wine and Food Festival at National Harbor, sponsored by Mini USA. Visit wineandfoodnh.com for info.
Hey everyone, it's Nikki and David, Foodie and the Beast. Be absolutely sure to join us next Sunday at 11 at the Birchmere when we broadcast live from the 11th Annual Carpenters Cook-Off, the Foodie Fest fundraiser for Carpenter Shelter. Then stick around from noon to 3 for awesome taste treats from 30 of the area's top restaurants, music from the Alpha Dog Blues Band, a fab live auction, and lots more. For info and tickets, visit carpenterscookoff.com or tweet at cookoff2013.
Guess what? We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. Before we get back to our guests, I just want to quickly thank the folks that make this show possible. And if you're not one of them, you should feel tremendous guilt and you should pony up right now. Okay. Georgetown Bagelry, the Neighborhood Restaurant Group. That's Rustico, Evening Star, Tallulah, Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Columbia Firehouse, Birch and Barley, and Church Key, and Arcadia. God bless them. The two founding farmers. And Farmer Fisher Baker down on the waterfront.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, who else? Bethesda Central Farm Market, Post. Mm-hmm. Who am I leaving out? Union Market,
Union
of course.
Market. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Carpenter what? Shelter. A bunch of guys. Anyways, thank you all for making the show possible.
Okay.
My list is incomplete.
All right. How about the National Harbors Wine and Food Festival, which will be at May. Well,
May 5th. Yeah, we're going to be broadcasting live there on May 5th at 11 o'clock.
And Carpenter Shelter.
And we're going to be at Carpenter Shelter on April 28th. That's next week. You're making me do this in the wrong order.
I know.
This is my marriage in microcosm right here. Mm-hmm. It's making me do stuff. But anyways, come join us live. The live events are a blast.
They are.
If you need more information, you can always just visit the listareyouonit.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's all free to subscribe to and all the info's there. So let's get back and talk about the Arts Festival a little more. You want to... Damien, you want to give us the nitty-gritty?
Yeah, just sort of walk people through what the festival feels like. There are activities for kids. So, like, tell us a little bit more about what goes on there.
Sure. Well, 220 booths. They'll be all throughout Reston Town Center from one end all the way to the other end. We do have a children's family park where we have kids' activities, a very popular children's art tent.
Cool.
We have performance art. We have aerial performances this year.
I do mime.
Well, this will be like better mime, but hanging from the...
What do you mean
the...
better mime? Well, we've just met. You can't insult me yet.
Fair enough. But aerialists will be hanging from the pavilion in the Reston Town Center doing performances every hour during the festival, including a big one on Saturday night at 6 o'clock. And then our gallery is open. We have a gallery at Reston Town Center.
Mm-hmm.
So that's open. We have an artist there, Morgan Craig, we're exhibiting his work. He's an artist from Philadelphia.
So, Dana, tell us about, from the artist perspective, what being in a festival like this does for you. I mean, does it give you greater outreach? I mean, you don't just do it for sport. So what is it for you?
It's given me so many opportunities just to...
well, show my art, but then one thing leads to another, like the mural, for example. Just meeting the great people at Grace. This show is so well organized. There isn't anything that an artist, anything more than an artist could ask
for. Now you can smile, Damien. Come on.
They're just, it's a fabulous show.
And is there networking for an artist? Like, do you get to meet other people and see what they're
doing?
Do you
get
inspired
when you're selling? I mean, there's a lot of networking going on, and I have a large following there in Reston as well as other places, and so that all stems from that.
Now, do you do other shows, or is this?
I do.
I mean, we're not supposed to talk about that right now,
well, they're not happening at the same time. right. So it's all right.
No, this is the only show I would ever do.
You should have a radio show. All right. Well, Damien, let's give everybody all the nitty-gritty details and how to find you online.
Absolutely. Websites are Northern Virginia Fine Arts ArtsFestival.org or ReStonArts.org for the Greater Reston Arts Center. The event is May 17th, 18th, and 19th. It's 5 to 8 on Friday, 10 to 6 on Saturday, and 10 to 4 on Sunday.
We didn't ask literally where. Is it in town center?
Literally right in town center,
awesome.
Yes.
Does it take up?
The whole place?
The entire place.
So they shut down the streets?
Shut down the streets.
How many artists?
220 artists.
That's a lot.
It is. Yeah, we fill in every single street.
We should start our own arts festival.
No, we should not.
It's a ton of fun.
That's great. All right. Well,
Dana, just tell people where they can they find you online and where they can view your art?
Yes, my website is danascheuer.com, and it's an odd spelling, so it's S-C-H-E-U-R-E-R.
Okay.
DanaSchoyer.com.
Excellent.
Well, lots of nice things on there.
Beautiful. Yeah, so thank you so much for coming in.
All right, everybody.
Thank you
very much. Ellie.
We're going back to you, Al.
Come on. Snap to it, baby.
Okay.
This is delicious. This is really, it's just got enough oomph to wake you right up.
Talking about the Bloody Mary.
It's a red snapper.
Is that what it's called?
It's my personal goal to convert everybody from vodka to gin in their Bloody Marys. I think it's very important.
That's why I like it so much.
Yeah.
Because Bloody Marys can be very hit or miss. I like them really, really spicy because I don't love vodka. But this is...
Yeah, that's the point.
So you're doing it with gin.
Yes. Gin is the wine drinker's vodka.
Oh, is that what it is?
Are you willing to share the recipe or is it a secret?
And why the shrimp?
Not at all. No. It's just every St. Regis has their own signature Bloody Mary. That's kind of their little spiel. But ours is the Capital Mary, and it has the shrimp and clam juice in it and the classic Bloody Mary mix. But it's with gin instead of vodka.
And how do people respond to that? I mean, are people like, no, I don't want it with gin? I mean,
are people purists?
I mean, how do you think people respond to that?
In their little zone about vodka with a Bloody Mary, but once they try it, they're like, wow, this is way better.
All right, I got a question for you. You're at a beautiful hotel at 16th and K. It's the top of the line. You get travelers from all over the world. What's the weirdest thing that anybody from any country has asked you to mix up? All right,
He's got one. Come on, come up to the microphone.
Yeah, come on.
1998 Silver Oak. With Captain Morgan rum.
Oh,
and that was $1,000.
Wait, what? It was $1,000?
We also got a Bordeaux and Coke the other day. That was bizarre.
And Coke?
Yeah, it was painful.
Coca-Cola?
it was painful, but I did it for them.
Oh, wait, that drink was $1,000? Yeah. Wait, come up to the mic so we can hear.
So he first ordered the Silver Oak.
Right.
The 98, or it was 98 or 99.
The entire bottle?
Entire bottle.
Okay.
Then got the Bordeaux glasses, then ask for some ice cubes. So we were like, okay, maybe for the water. Then ask for a bottle of Captain Morgan rum.
The whole bottle?
Whole bottle itself. Then started mixing things on the plate with their spoon in the glass, mixing it together. Was just
all right. My father used to say that money doesn't care who spends it,
and that
clearly,
is a perfect example.
Just the bill for the Captain Morgan rum and wine itself went up to like $1,300. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, when you have money, you know, I guess that's what
it
you
doesn't
do.
Mean. Money it doesn't mean you have taste. That's all there is to it.
Money does not equal style.
Right.
We're slowly converting people one cocktail at a time, though.
Okay, great. So the new cocktail program has launched. Have you revamped the wine program at all? Like, what are you doing since you've been there to the wine program?
I've just been sort of keeping everything really esoteric and fun. And there's a huge